bitch ass motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go.
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
Hey, Hang Sangria, hope you're Savia. It's your boy N. Dot O. Dot R. Dot E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And it's Drink Chats motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise!
Right now,
legendary shit.
We have what I would like to call the king of hip hop, what I would like to call the king of alternate. What I mean by that is after your career has been done, he's the person who put out the blueprint
right
for what you're supposed to do after your rhymes. This motherfucker is the king of Queens. I'm saying it. I'm from Queens. I feel like I have the authority. He's the king of Queens, the king of New York, the king of hip-hop. First artist ever signed to Def Jam Records. Which means that I might have not existed if it wasn't for this motherfucker.
A lot of people wouldn't have existed.
A lot of people wouldn't have existed.
Because
even Run DMC wasn't even on Def Jam. This is real shit. And right now, we got the Godfather. I might just call him the father. A motherfucking Queens, New York, and everything else. We got LL Cool J in the motherfucking building. Make some noise!
Appreciate that love. Appreciate that love.
LL, listen, can I call you LL?
Of course.
In my mind, I always call you Uncle L. I don't know why. Like, even when you say what's up to me, I'll be like, Uncle L, how you doing? I got so much respect for you.
Thank you, and not for you, man.
And then you came to my hood, though. Remember?
Of course.
You came to my hood. It made me, like, and then Run DMC came too, and Diggy Simmons came, and then Diggy Simmons, he's smashing all the little girls in my hood now. But
he put a foul thought in his mind. He didn't want to even picture that.
You got running around putting out fires over there.
Yeah. But Al, we
it's
got
not his baby.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say, it's not his baby.
But L, I gotta tell you how important you mean to Queens.
Thank you, man.
Not only Queens, because if you look at Queens, you look at people like you, Nas, Run DMC, you gotta look at the whole spectrum of hip hop.
Yeah.
So if you say a person was a leader of Queens, a person was actually the leader of a whole generation. So now you have people like Drake, have people like Ja Rule, have people, all these people who actually, they can't say they didn't pattern their style after you.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, hip hop is a complex thing, man. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, if you're a decent looking fella, you gotta damn near kill yourself to be accepted by dudes. You know what I mean?
By dudes.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the bitches
there.
Fuck with you.
I mean, look at Pac. Right. You know, he was a handsome dude, but look what he had to do in order for guys to accept him.
Yeah.
You know?
Deep.
I mean, if I made one more chance, they would have called it a love song. But from Biggie, it was something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it takes courage to do what you love and to do what you believe in. You know what I'm saying? And that was my thing. It wasn't a matter of, you know, I just wanted to have girls. You know what I mean?
Hence
most of my
name.
Friends did too. I mean,
I did
for the
too.
Most part. So, you know, so I figured I'd make some songs and try to get some. You know, I didn't realize that that was like, you know, because you know the thing with hip hop is that, you know, if you're not spitting gum bars and talking about packs, that GOAT title is gonna be elusive for you. Because you know, most of the time the voting members, That's what they really, you know, the fellas really, that's what they really want. And I too, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I just decided that I was going to do what I wanted to do. I had the balls to just do what I wanted to do. So, you know, I did hard records and love records and hard records and weird records and creative artsy shit.
Man,
do
you battle think, records
Do you
too.
Think, because I think that LL perfected the hard record and then the crossover record after that. And then Biggie kind of took that style. And the reason why I want to ask you, have you ever thought like that? Because of the flavor in your ear, it was like they kind of try to keep you closer. This is me as a fan.
Yeah.
I have no
Well, flavor in
facts.
Your ear. I mean, flavor in your ear, first of all, flavor in your ear is so crazy because so many people thought, hey, shit, they thought I was talking about trannies or some shit. You know what I mean?
No, I never heard the story.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know what I mean? He said, hey, shit, all these pervs running around here, man. He's like, yeah,
no, we never heard this story.
You know what he's talking about? Yeah. No, homie. I wasn't talking about that.
Right.
Shout out to my man, Top Fife.
Right.
That was something that we used to say all the time, you know what I'm saying? Just to, hey, shit! When it was on and popping. I had no idea that when they was going to spell out the syllables, we was going to be in, you know, all with all love and respect, you know, Trannyville, you know what I mean? I didn't know we was going to be there, you know, with all love and respect to everybody, you know, do what you want. I ain't beefing, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, you know, look, man, whether it's Big or Nas or, you know, the other guys, like, I respect all the artists for what they do, you know what I'm saying? And, I respect anybody who's original and does it from the heart, does it from the soul. Like, you know, I was listening to that Kendrick record and when he had said, you know, he does it from the soul. You do it, you know, for you, it comes from the meds. Something to, I'm paraphrasing.
That's
you know what I'm saying? I just love, I love hip hop. You know, I love the culture. You know, I love everything about it. But the thing was, you know, also at the same time, you know, I was never going to be a slave to the music business. You
dig? Meaning?
So, meaning that the first time that I went and sat down and said, yo, I'd like to get X amount as an advance to this album. And somebody, like, they shoulders shook a little bit.
Was this
said,
when you brung your
TV.
Radio? And you brung your radio? And you was like,
this is after that. Oh, yeah, right. When I brung the radio, I'd have took a hero. But you know, how soon we forget. You know what I mean? Look, man, I just like to do everything, you know.
Right.
I don't feel like you should limit yourself.
Right.
You know,
no,
if you have the
you
talent, if you have the talent to do many things, you shouldn't be afraid to do that because dreams don't have deadlines. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, in our culture, especially in the black community and as young males, you know, we get boxed in to what?
Marginalized.
Well, no, not just marginalized by mainstream society, but boxed in the sense that, you know, you feel like there's certain things that you might have dreams, but you don't think it's cool. You know what I'm saying? You might
like
want to
be in a doctor.
You might be in an origami.
Yeah.
You might be into something
exactly.
weird,
like
knitting like blankets,
right.
like
right.
and putting them over gates. Like
you think
something that
mad
with
you think because you're not a rapper or you're not a basketball player, you're
right.
not cool.
And we
got to take that out.
We do that to ourselves with our music too,
right?
Because we don't give
like
ourselves
you pigeonhole
freedom.
Yourself.
We don't give ourselves freedom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like we don't give ourselves the freedom to do what we want to do. We always feel like, you know, every time I make a song, I got to worry about what this particular set of friends thinks. Forget my imagination, but I might be imagining some other shit. It's not that I don't want to make records that my friends like, but what if I think of something else? Why can't
Bigger
I do that?
Yeah.
Right, why can't I do that?
Right.
And so that's the thing that I always acted on that impulse, you know. I never, you know, I never was, like, I just wouldn't listen to that. You know what I mean? Like, I just do what I want to do.
Because
you know?
Who do you love? Yo, but I gotta get to this. I've been seeing you for 20 years. And I never asked you this question. What is pink cookies in a plastic bag, my brother?
Getting crushed by buildings.
I ain't gonna lie. I've been going with whatever any nigga said.
I'll tell you what
nigga
really
said that's putting on the car.
You don't have an idea
like,
of what it means.
It makes sense.
I was on the phone with a girl, right? And, you know, I was at Marley's studio and she was talking.
Marley Mall.
Let's
make some noise for Marley
Mall. I had smelled some weed, but I didn't inhale, you know? you know, after I had smelled the weed, you know, after smelling the weed, I laid on the couch and I was talking to this girl. And she said, I was like, you know, yeah, yeah. She was like, what are you talking about? I said, baby, I don't know. I'm thinking about pink cookies in a plastic bag getting crushed by buildings right now. And she said, what? What? And when she said, what? I was like, oh, shit, that's a song. He's going in the back. I said, yo, Molly. Yo, let's get it. So I went downstairs, you know, me and Molly made the record.
I knew it. Let me tell you something. It was so complicated that I knew the explanation was mad simple.
Yeah, it was mad simple. I'm not even gonna come here to lie and run for office. No. It was what it was, you know. And I had miniature satellites floating in closets, spying in pockets. I had a few of them.
Right.
I got more of them. jumping out of a helicopter into a football stadium filled with cotton candy and shit. All kind of shit. I'm gonna tell you some crazy shit.
I'm gonna tell you one thing, Al. I know you don't know you taught me this. But I was on a top 40 tour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I only had 7 dates on a top 40 tour. Y'all had like 70. Right? I had 7. And I didn't ride on a private jet. I was commercial. Everybody else. Sorry. But it was you, Fat Joe, Puff Daddy, Ja Rule. This is that type. But I got 7 dates. So every date that I had with you, like you had your room and then you had your room for your people.
Right.
And I never disrupted you. I never came in there. But there's one day I was like, can I speak to Al? And Al was like, who is it? And they said, Nori. He said, let that nigga in here. And I felt like you was shadow boxing. I don't know.
I do that before the show. Yeah, I felt like you was shadow boxing.
So you came in and I said, yo, Al, because you had gave out roses this night. You had gave out roses, right? So I said, Al, like I'm 18, 19 at the time. I'm so young. So I'm like, Al, every girl in the crowd is for you. Why are you not out there? And you know what she told me?
Huh.
You said, I roll my wife. And I said, why? And he said, because I never get in trouble.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. To this day, I roll my wife.
Yeah.
I roll my wife. LL caught me.
God damn it. LL, QJ. Because you really don't, you know, why give the money back? You know what I mean? It's mine. I'm not giving it back. Like, easy. Like,
right. And you know. And you know the crazy thing is, younger brothers come up to me and be like, yo, Nori, why are you rolling with your wife? And I just be like, I'm going to use that now. Would you say? I don't want to give the money back.
But I have moments, Nori, in my life. You know what I mean?
No, I'm LL now. Don't look at me, you know.
But at the same time, you got easy, Tiger. You know, it's raw. It's rough out there.
It's rough out there. Some deep water out there, baby. I didn't know though. When you told me that, I was like, L's bugging. Well, and then I had to actually live. And then when I lived, I said.
So you thought he was bugging out when he told you that?
Oh no! Of course. In my mind, I probably said.
Of course.
He's retarded. Like in his face. And then years later, I was like,
you got it.
I understand.
That reminds me of a story. I was, you know, I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him.
Can't you just say his name? Nah. Nobody listens to us, Al.
It's a rap dude, right? It's a rap dude. Okay. You know, back in the day, he came up to me like, yo, L, you know, let me hold something. You know, he took some paper. Yo, let me hold something. And I tried to tell him about He's like, yo, L, let me hold something. And I tried to tell him, you know, talk to him about stocks and bonds and shit like that. He was like, yo, L, man, you talking about some stock. Let me hold something, man. You know, like stocks and bonds and shit, man. So that reminds me of that. Like, at a point, at some, you're not, you only can understand it when you're ready for it.
You dig what I'm saying? I was not ready for it.
And a lot of times, you know, and that's true with music, too. Because you can do music and put it out there, and people just don't understand it, and it flies over their head, and they catch it later. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that happens too.
Who ever seen LL perform before? I see. Raise your hands, goddammit. There should be more people raising their fucking hands. Let me just tell you something. At one point in the show, he takes off his shirt and he just gives every woman a flower.
Yeah.
And they super wet. You could just tell because.
the heads
start getting wet.
Just like, damn, are you wet? Like, yeah.
That's the goal.
And yo, so I'm a kid. I'm 18, 19 years old. Chris Lighty's like, yo, you gotta go. You gotta follow LL. I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm doing it. They all on private planes. It's okay. I'm getting there. It's commercial, but it's okay. I'm still happy. And I'm like, Al. And Al is like, he knocked none of them down.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. Like, first I was like, yo.
Yeah.
And you were so content. And now God ain't gonna give you nothing you can't handle. I live like L. Do you approve my lifestyle?
What am I, the moral police?
You are. Can you seven wise in there, homie? I ain't judging, man. The last dude that's ever going to judge you is me.
Still need you to approve my lifestyle. Just say I approve.
You know what I mean? I'm LL Cool J and I approve this message.
I live 10 years behind you.
Yeah, because you know, I got Halloween in my closet, so I ain't
fronting. So now, L. L.
All type of bones and costumes. Wrist bones, back bones, spines. Spines hanging over the closet door. Skulls.
So, Al, man. I gotta ask you this. This is not for the podcast. This is not for anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is because I sincerely respect LL Cool J.
Thank you.
I love LL Cool J. I looked up to LL Cool J. But you did kind of crush cannabis career early. And I never knew why. Like, me personally. Like,
you don't know why?
No. I know the industry answer why.
I mean, you know, the real...
Did he disrespect you in the session? What happened? Because you're a Queens nigga, and I respect it. Whatever way you went,
I'll tell you exactly what happened. I mean, the real honest answer is that, you know, one day, you know, I was on my way to the studio and he came up to me and my ego
career.
Was a little taller than me. I'm not going to
crush his career.
No, my ego was a little taller than me, a little bit. So, he walked up and he was like, yo, your tattoo, man, I like your tattoo. I'm going to get one like that. I said, nah, homie, you know, you got to get your own, you know. I didn't understand that, like, mentally. Like, I just didn't understand that. Nah, man, you get your own joint. Like, I just didn't understand it. Like, it was no disrespect. I was like, nah, you got your own. Like, nah, I'm get one like that. And then, after we had that conversation, when I went in and heard his bars, he said, is that a mic on your arm? Let me bar that. And I just, like, was like, I just did not understand. I couldn't understand it, homie. I blinked.
Okay, all right.
I blinked, and that was it.
Take me from that moment.
Is it true that you already had your verse and then you changed it? Is that what people said?
The truth is, right. I went in, I heard what he said, and I responded to the shit. Right. That's the truth.
On your record. Right. You didn't take him off your record.
No. I was too ignorant for that. A smart guy, you know. Jay-Z would have took him off the record, you know. Let's do it smart. I was an idiot.
I don't think anybody ever did that.
Ignorance. Just ignoramus. Just leave you on the record.
I'm going to tell you something. At that time, I was running around Def Jam, and Leo Cohn said, Leo opened for some reason, and he said, Nori, do you know what's going on? But I'm acting like I'm dumb. I'm like, no. Yeah. He said, LL is battling cannabis. But mind you, he's dead serious. So I'm just looking at him. But mind you, I know what's going on. But I'm like, word?
Nah.
But he's like, yo.
But then, yeah. But see, the thing is, what people don't know is that after that, I saw him, cannabis.
After you crushed his career?
Well, no.
This is before the battle records.
I saw him and I said, yo. He was debating about putting a song about me out. I said, yo, don't. I went to him. I said, yo, you know what? Okay, it happened on the record. I said, first of all, nobody's going to know if you don't make a record. I said, that's the first thing.
Wow.
I never knew. Oh, you're talking about that. That's a very important part of the
story. Yeah, I told him this.
So, you saying before his reaction record came out,
wow. I met with him. I said, yo. I said, don't put no record out. Nobody's going to know. Just leave it. And, you know, I got a little high-headed.
It's between y'all.
Yeah, it was between us.
Okay.
I said, leave. He said, oh, no, if I don't put it out, it'll be politics. And I'm like, And I'm like, you know, and then Wyclef's over in the corner aiding and abetting and shit.
Yeah, Wyclef fucked him up. Wyclef fucked him up.
You know what I mean?
Wyclef, you fucked him up. You gassed him up to the wrong battle. And we love you, Wyclef.
Nah, I love Clef. It's all good. Yeah. So, but then he put the record out, and then, you know, then the record, because I told him, I said, yo, let's just do a record together. Ooh. You know what I mean?
You said that?
Yes.
I said that to a person.
Yes, I said we should have did a record. Let's just do a record together. We could, you know, because I didn't really want the drama, but you know, it is what it is, you know.
Right.
And then I just responded, and that was it, you know. And we did what we did, and you know,
Second round knockout, and Return of the Ripper.
And you crushed his career. Let's make some noise for LL crushing his career.
You ain't gotta make noise. Don't worry about it. We gonna make noise for you.
And don't forget Kumo D and him too.
Hey, yo, Nori, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time.
Headache.
It's always been hard to find the best deals for the game or show you want to go to, and none of these older ticket sites want to change nothing, but SeatGeek is different.
They've came a long way and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier for the fans to buy and sell tickets. It's the first place I go to when I want to see my amazing polygraph friends. You feel that?
Didn't you use it for the Snoop concert?
I used it for the Snoop concert. I used it for the Amber Rose talk show, and I used it for Jenny Jones, and you know what I mean, when they was popping back then.
Hey, yo, SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you, searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. You immediately see the underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals to fit your budget.
There are a ton of tours throughout the rest of 2017, like Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, 2 Chainz, Lauryn Hill and Nas, which you know is going to be crazy, Logic, and Joey Badass. And SeatGeek has you covered for all those and so much more.
And, you know, to our listeners, they're giving away a $20 rebate. And, you know, what is it? We got a promo code, right?
So just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code DRINK today. That's promo code DRINK, D-R-I-N-K, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchases. So get out there and see some live music, sports, comedy, theater, whatever, anything with SeatGeek. Let's go, Drink Champs Army. Let's do this.
And you could take that $20 and get more of a buzz. Let's make some noise for that.
Make some noise.
SeatGeek.
I'm going to Kumo D.
But how did the Kumo D shit start? How did that start?
Because
it seems like LL. Not start it, but you definitely finished.
Well, I said on the record, I said I'm only 18 making more than your pops, and he felt offended by that.
Ooh, what? The 118.
Making more than your pops. And he was offended because he thought it was the wrong message.
Because he was making more than his pops.
Well, no, he thought I was sending a bad message to young kids out there. Like I was, because I, you know, look, the. When I was growing up, you know, 16, 17, 18, like 17, 18, 19, I was always with Rich Porter. I was always with Alpo and AZ. And my man Big Chuck from Mount Vernon took me with them. So that's who I used to be always hanging up with. I would be on 132 and,
Fat
you know,
Cat.
I was always uptown. Not Fat Cat, even though he was from Queens. I know Preem and I knew, you know, the Furtado brothers and all of them. I knew them, but I was like
Let's
a
make
shorty.
Make some noise for LL.
No.
Sign out, real drug dealers.
I was a shorty, so when I knew the Furtados, they was giving me warm champagne, like, hey man, you're begging for champagne, you know what I mean? But when I started hanging out with Chuck,
we got cold champagne.
Yeah,
right?
I got cold champagne.
It's cold.
Oh, all the champagne's cold.
Oh, it's
now.
Cold. It's
not,
cold.
It's not, yeah, I don't take it personal.
Gotta make sure.
You know? So when I used to hang with you know, with Alpo, and when Chuck would take me around to hang with Alpo and AZ and Rich and all of them, and Black Just used to come a little later.
Black Just, God
later
bless.
On, and may he rest in peace. You know, I just came up, you know, in a different, you know, thought process, you know what I'm saying? And I just tried to do things right, you know what I mean? That's all, basically.
Did you know Bimmy was the biggest drug dealer in Queens when you was hanging with him at one point? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Bim is my man, you know what I'm saying? I hung with Bim, you know, the whole time. I saw Bim in some of his initial escapades.
He got freckles. Right? You don't know he's selling cocaine.
But you know what the thing is about that? What people have to understand about that is that, first of all, we don't want to glorify that.
No,
we don't.
Because
it's not cute.
We do not.
And it's a tough life.
Tough life.
And it destroys lives. And most of the guys that are really doing it for real wish they weren't. Okay? And the ones that are really successful at it really wish they were successful at something else, anything else. This is a horrible way to live. Okay? And we can front and act like it isn't, but it is.
But
it's
it
a
is.
Very tough way to live, all right? Because I've seen it firsthand for real. And, but, you know,
it taught me a lot, though. I learned a lot. You know, I forgot the point I was trying to make
because
I was...
No, because you know why? You know, I'm telling you the point that you're just trying to make because at one point...
Oh, with Kumo D. Okay, right. Kumo D. So, okay. So basically, he thought that I was glorifying that lifestyle when I said 18 million more than a pop.
Original background.
So he wanted to, you know, be conscious about that. But what he didn't understand is that...
That you're going
to
crush
him. No, that I'm an 18-year-old young man and I don't know anything else but this. But you know, when you're growing up in the hood, when you're growing up in the hood,
gonna crush him.
Yeah, but when you're growing up in the hood and I see a car drive by, that's all I know. It ain't, and I see a guy, how he gets it, that's all I know. It's not about, I'm not even thinking about right and wrong and consequences and ruining my life. And you don't even think on that level. That doesn't even come into your brain. The only thing you think is, I'm here and the money's there. And where do I gotta go to get it? That's all you really think about. Now, when you're older, you get in your 30s, your late 20s, and, you know, maybe even 40, you can start reflecting and kind of cleaning up your life. So I think he had the right intention, but the problem was that he wasn't merciful in understanding that I was a young kid and this is all I was thinking. Now, on the MC level, you know, I've never shied away from trying to snap somebody's head off.
I'm not going to lie.
You know?
I feel like you still want to battle right now.
You know the giant wire cutters?
You right now.
I feel like you still want to battle a nigga right now. If a nigga fucking... I felt like you was going to beat up Charlamagne recently. What happened?
Damn. Did I cut? No. My thing with homie is, you know, he likes to get on the radio and bully people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't like bullies.
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I really don't like bullies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand he's a smart guy. I get that. But the bully thing didn't work for me. And I felt like he was picking on me and undermining my brand and my vibe. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't going to go up there and do the baby thing. I just told him, listen, will you go? No, let me just keep it real. I wasn't going to go up there and do that. I love baby. That's my man. But I wasn't doing that.
Right.
I'm not going to go to your show on camera at your show talking shit with you while you make money. We're not doing that.
And by the way, that's the most viewed
I'm sure it is. And I'm sure you saw a lot of sponsorships.
Yes.
But... my thing was, look, you know, I said, look, let's just box a charity. You know, I give 100, 300,000.
You're going to stop offering to beat people up, Al.
I was aggravated.
You're going to get sued.
No, not for charity.
Al, you got to stop.
Not when you're boxing for charity.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm boxing for charity.
I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody want to box for Al.
I'm not, I have no problems with him. I wish him the best. Just leave me alone and don't pick on me.
Just so you
don't
know.
Don't pick on me. I don't like to get picked on.
Just so you know, Al, you can
beat
everybody.
Nobody out there watching this podcast. No, I can't. I don't claim to be
You can beat everybody
man.
In hip-hop,
I don't. You know, nah, don't get carried away. But there's some crazy money in hip-hop. But everybody watching this podcast, don't bully. Don't be bullies. And don't pick on people. Because that was my only problem with homie.
Right. And you felt like he was picking on you.
Yeah, because he's always got something to say. Like, he doesn't understand. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, you know... everybody was mad at me, and I understand their point of view, but everybody was mad at me about, you know, the whole accidental racist record. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, with the...
And that was
the,
a big conversation.
Right. Okay.
And they thought, you know, oh, L's, you know, aiding and abetting us for getting slavery.
You gotta listen to your verse. Your verse, when we saying the chains.
Yeah, but what they didn't understand is that, you know, now fast forward... and look at the shape the country's in, and you think about what me and him was attempting to do. It was ideological, but look at where the shape the country's in now. You dig? People at that point thought that I was out of my mind for comparing a do-rag to a Confederate flag, but now you're seeing little brothers get shot down every day because of their outfits, whether it's a hoodie. It may not be a do-rag, but maybe it's a hoodie with Trayvon. Maybe it's some sagging jeans. Maybe it's a brother outside an SUV getting shot down. That's the thing I was talking about. I was trying to humanize us. I would never suggest that we forget our history. That's absurd.
Of course.
It's ludicrous. But you got to be willing to... like, I'll give you another example. Like, people was mad at me when I said, oh, R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. Oh, I hate L. Yeah, how can he say that? Robert E. Lee. R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. They hated me. He was a general in the Confederate Army. Yeah, okay. I understand how people feel.
Right.
But when that racist dude ran up in that church and he shot up all of those people... right. In that black church down south?
Yeah.
And then those black people got together and said, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're praying for them, and we forgive them, and we want to send love to them. The country held them in high esteem because they were able to get beyond their emotions and see the bigger picture. And that's what I was trying to show people. You know what I'm saying? But it took 4 years, and all of these people dying by the hands of corrupt police, because not all police are corrupt. You know what I mean? But dying by the hands of some of these corrupt policemen and dying at the hands of in the wrong way for people to understand that what I was saying and what me and Brad were attempting to do was very real. You know what I'm saying? But that's why that whole they laugh at you, then they ignore you, then they fight you, then you win thing is true, because they laughed at us then, you know? SNL, everybody was laughing at us, you know? But then when you and then they ignored us. But now look at what's going on. Now they trying to fight that same, they trying to promote those same vibes, those same values that we talked about. So, you know, that's about the courage. That's about art. You know, that's what art does. It provokes people. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to say to you, if you don't know how much you appreciate it in the hip hop.
No, but I appreciate hip hop.
No, but listen, let me just tell you something. If it wasn't for LL Cool J, there wouldn't be a Nas. If it wasn't for a Nas, there wouldn't be a Mobb Deep. If it wasn't for a Mobb Deep, there wouldn't be a Capone and Noriega. So me personally, I want to look at you face to face, eye to eye, man to man, and tell you how much that not only Queens, because we're not Queens, it's limited. Even though Queens, we run the world.
Y'all can make noise for that.
Yeah, your man is from Queens.
Even though we from Queens, we run the world. But
Trump
you know
is from
what?
Queens, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yes.
I did hear that.
Are you kidding me? I had a condo around the corner from his house.
Okay, in Jamaica State. Thanks for being rich for 20 years, God damn it. Get a condo around Trump, God damn it.
I'm not going to lie. I was this close to buying a condo next in his building because it was cost effective.
Cost effective? Yeah, for Noriega being rich. Cost effective. The condo in the Trump joint.
Woo-hoo! Aha! Aha! I do that. That's my job. Yo, but you came one day. I'm shooting a Blood Money video.
Yeah.
The most disrespectful record on my album. And I call for LL Cool J to come through. And LL Cool J comes through my motherfucking hood.
Well, first of all, I always love your music.
Oh,
No. I always loved your music. I always felt your music. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you,
what all of that. Well, you know, you introduced the world to the Neptunes and all that. I mean, you put Pharrell
on the... You can make some noise for that.
You put Pharrell on the map.
But I
met Pharrell because of you. I came to your session and met Pharrell.
Wow.
And that's when I did Love You Better. I ended up ultimately doing Love You Better in All Americans. But, you've done a lot. You know, you're an important person.
Thank you, Al.
What we're doing. That's why the podcast is so successful. I've been watching it. Watching episodes.
And you got
to
deal with CBS. And me and EFN, we got some deals to bring you.
I got you covered. I got a lot of stuff. Yeah. I got some things.
No. And the lip sync battle.
Yeah.
Was that your idea, or was that somebody else?
Well, the idea came from John Krasinski and Steve Merchant, and they brought it, you know, through Jimmy.
They sound rich. I don't know who they are, but they sound rich.
They're rich now. it came to us, and basically, you know, but I own the format along with my partners, and we've sold the format in over 150 countries around the world, and we have, like, a partnership with, like, Carnival Cruises, and... you know, the app is starting to grow now and really doing well, the Lip Sync Battle app. And, I mean, the show, and we've also, we have different versions of the show around the world. So, like, in Thailand, there's, like, it'd be a Thai host doing their Lip Sync Battle. And we just did, like, deals in the Ukraine, and we did a deal in Russia, and we did a deal, you know, in China. We just did a big deal in China for Lip Sync Battle. So that thing is global. And then, you know, what people don't know is with, like, NCIS LA, I also have... A vested interest in the show. I'm not just an actor on the show. I have an
but
actual.
But that's the guy where you
pizza,
with
Sam Hanna with the shirts
and,
on
and
all
you shooting people.
Yeah,
you
and
be shooting
catching terrorists. And that's in 200 countries around the world as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's you know it's really going well. It's going well.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not gonna lie. When I looked at hip hop, right, I was tired of hip hop. I was just tired. Like I mean, I loved it. I still wanted to make it, but I couldn't, God bless the dead, after Chris Lighty died, I couldn't actually attack it the way I wanted to attack it. So I said, fuck it. Let me just think of something else.
Right.
And all I did was look at you. I looked at you and said, what the fuck is L doing? And L, because you in shape. I wasn't in shape back then.
You say you good now.
I'm a little okay.
You look like you know you can do a handstand or something. Yeah. Like you got something popping.
I've been watching your Instagram.
I've been watching your Instagram.
killing me.
But,
oh, shit. My Instagram.
But I sat back and I said, what can I do to do something else other than hip hop? Because music just gets boring. Even if you're making money, music just gets boring.
Nah, but you know what, Nor? Let me tell you something, man. I don't feel that way. I think my thing is I just never limit myself. And like I said, if you have more than one talent, you should utilize them all.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If you're a Deion Sanders and you can play baseball and football, play both.
Play both.
You know, music is not off the table for me.
Mm.
You know, I'm not telling you that I'll never make another record. It's just right now.
You're going to make another record.
Right. Well, right now, my priority is
on
TV. On
Thugged Out Militainment.
Oh,
make some noise for that. We signing you, Al.
Great business move. Great move.
I'm sorry, Al. I'm sorry.
Nah, I love
it. That was...
So, nah, it's beautiful. Right. So, I'm not saying it's off the table, but you know, you gotta try different things. You gotta move. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, make things happen and not be, like, afraid to, like, fall back for a second. Like, I'm not afraid. Like, I don't feel like, you know, if I make a song, it'll be like I never left. As soon as after the record go off.
Because In Too Deep.
Yeah.
This movie.
Oh, yeah, that was...
You stuck a pole stick up a nigga ass.
Yeah. 8 ball, back pocket. Oh, no.
I didn't know you actually took the 8 ball, too?
I just thought it was sick. I'm sorry, Al. I didn't know you put a pole...
Nah.
You went there.
Yeah, but you know...
Don't worry, Al.
The videos, you know, the movies and
Uncle
stuff.
Uncle Al, sorry.
Yeah, nah, it's all love.
I'm Jeff, Uncle Al.
When it comes to the movies, I don't limit myself with the characters.
Mm.
Whatever role it is. Mm. You know, I'm not above any role or below any role. It's if I respond to the role and I feel like it's something good, I'll do it. Mm. Right now, I'm playing Sam Hanna on NCIS Los Angeles. It's a lot of fun. We're going into our ninth season.
I'll be seeing like this. You pull out your gun very professional now.
Oh, but let me tell you why.
I can tell now you learned.
Nah, he talking about hitting them with the, you know what I mean? Freeze! You know what I mean? Freeze! You know all that.
Daddy Farmer's little ball at all.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Now,
I went down to like Camp Pendleton and trained with like the Marines and the Special Ops guys, the sailors down there. You know, hung out with a master gunnery sergeant from the Marines who told me a lot. I went to SWAT school, you know, and did a lot of tactical training.
Let's go back to
N2D. Training.
You stick the nigga in his
ass. Yeah, hit him in his he got it.
What is the next question? Do you eat
ass? He stuck the nigga in his ass.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That shit fucked me up in real life.
Yeah, it fucked him up too.
And I knew you.
I was good.
But when I see that, I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. And he was like, oh.
That was a brutal scene. If you haven't seen it too deep, go check it out. It's a brutal scene. It's a brutal scene.
but going back to music real quick, you're one of the first New York artists to kind of be bi-coastal.
Yeah.
When you worked with Pooh, L.A. Posse, and all them. How did that come about?
Basically, what happened was, you know, at that time, you know, after my first album, Rick Rubin left Def Jam.
Right.
And we were trying to figure out what my next move was going to be because he produced my first album.
The whole first album?
Yeah. We did the whole first album together. It was his first album, too. Full album. And after that...
No. He can't just say that. Let's make some noise for that.
So after that...
Hey, yo, with both cameras, you got to start clapping, too. I understand.
And climbing?
That y'all filming. But you listen, with both cameras... You gotta clap too. I'm sorry. You too, tattoo guy. All right, let's go.
Terrible.
I'm sorry.
So I went and Russell had heard, you know, the LA Posse because they had made some records that he felt was in the zone.
Mm.
So he introduced me to him. I met Bobcat. Big up to Bob. From, you know, Muffler. Yeah, from LA.
LA, West Coast.
You know, LA, all
but
up from West Coast.
But your first record wasn't with the radio?
Who, mine?
Yeah.
My first album was Radio. My first song was I Need a Beat. My first song came out in 1984. It was I Need a Beat. Then
I was born in 77.
Yeah, well,
Giving my childhood.
You know what I mean?
Thank you for giving my childhood.
Then the second one came out like 85. The album came out like 85. Mm. And then it went from there. But the second album came out around 87.
But the first album was on Def Jam.
It was on Def Jam, yes. Tila Rock, It's Yours was on Def Jam Productions. It was an imprint on Party Time.
Mm.
It was Party Time Records. It was Def Jam Productions. And Rick was having problems. Him and Russell were having problems getting the money from Party Time for the Is Yours record, so they decided to start their own label. And I was the flagship artist, and we made the first album. And I actually, you know, a little side note, I owned a piece of Def Jam as well.
Oh, sure.
And I sold it. Yeah, I sold it back to them.
But the first record was
Radio. Radio on Rock the Bells, Radio, all of that was on first record.
Can't
on,
live and without my radio.
Yeah, and they went and got the deal with
Rock the Bells.
Went and got
Priority?
The deal with no, CBS.
CBS?
Yeah, Columbia.
CBS here in Columbia. CBS is here in Columbia. We got CBS right here in the building.
Oh, cheers.
CBS Disney. Yeah, yeah. You know, Queens niggas get money with CBS.
Oh, yeah. It certainly appears so.
Can you pour me a drink, Al? I need Al to pour me a drink.
You remember Scarface said, there's an answer to that too, Tony.
Yo, Al, this is what I want you to describe right. Back in the days. Because it was so rough walking down Jamaica Ave.
Oh, God.
Listen, people think it's rough walking down Jamaica Ave in 2017.
Crazy.
And they have no idea what it was in the 80s and the 90s. Can you describe?
It was like any piece of clothing that you had on that was mildly or remotely valuable was like asking people to rob you. Yeah. Like if you had a pair of Gazelles on, you walked by somebody, your Gazelles would say to them, excuse me, could you take me? It was like the Gazelles were talking. If you had a sheepskin, it'd be like, hey, I'm a sheepskin, come over here and get me. Rob, hey, take me off of him, please. He's not cool enough to have me on. Come on, get me, please. It was crazy. Right. Yo, it was crazy.
And listen, crazy. I want to describe to people. Listen, let me describe to people. Because one day Nas just told me, he said, one day me and Nas just kicking it, we talking, and Nas said, and he came to Left Rack, and he was like, he was like, I can't believe the amount of respect that nobody don't bother you here. And I was like, this is my hood.
Right.
And he said, do you imagine what LL went through? Bruh. In those days, well, mind you, we had no facts.
But remember, I was hanging with the guys I was hanging with.
No, you were with the
guys. I wasn't really having a lot of problems. Like you hear these weird rumors. Yeah. Oh, LL got thrown through a Coliseum window.
I never heard
those
rumors.
Yeah, right.
I'm from Queens. I'm from Queens for real. I never heard those rumors.
Oh yeah, he's
I
was with guys that was so official and thorough in the street.
Yeah.
That I wasn't having those issues.
And
I wasn't looking for him either, because you know what I've learned? I never in my life have tried to be a tough guy. Wow. And I never hung around gangsters and tried to act like I was one.
Mm.
Because that's how you get yourself in trouble.
Mm.
Just be who you are.
That's deep.
Just be yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I never had a lot of issues. I had a few fights. I grew up fighting. Mm. You know, I wasn't, having shootouts.
We
so
could tell. You
couple
shut
of people,
can,
couple
the way
of
you
people,
shut cannabis
you know,
down, we knew you could fight.
You know, a couple of people, I had a couple of dumb moments.
Okay.
I'll tell you a funny story when I was a little kid.
You want to hit it for the story?
Just a little mischief.
Okay.
So when I was a little kid, when it was snow outside,
mm-hmm.
we decided it was a good idea,
throw
to take to take rocks and cinder blocks and cover them with snow and then throw them at cars.
Oh.
So, don't ask me why we thought this was a good idea, right? So one day I'm in my grandmother's yard and I throw a goddamn big ass rock with snow around it. Because the car's not gonna stop. They say, oh, look at the little kids with snowballs, and then it's like, goosh, right? we was in there, my man came around the corner. And I was looking over there, and I seen the window roll down like that. All I seen was little flashing lights. I was running. I hid behind a snow mound.
Right.
Did you hear me?
A snow mound.
A snow mound. Bullets was flying all through the joint, baby. Oh. I'm talking about snow mound. And then I ran, fell down in a basement.
Oh, because homie was shooting at you.
Yes. Yes, he was shooting at me. The flashing lights was the gun going off. You know what I mean? Flashing lights. Kanye lights.
Nick busted.
The lights. And I ran. And you know how in Queens the basement windows got that I don't know what you call it.
Oh, we know.
It's like a thing down at the on the house for the so you can open the basement window. So I fell down there, tore my ankles up and all that. So I had a little mischief in my life a little bit. But for the most part, I stayed out of trouble. You know what I mean, Noah?
And I'm sorry to bring this up, but I have to bring it up. We all was managed by Violator Management. We all was under the tutelage. I don't know if that's a word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is.
Of Chris Lighty.
Right.
I asked 50 Cent this. I asked all Violator artists when they come on here. Mm-hmm. Like, how did it, because it's still affecting me.
Well, first of all, I love Chris deeply. And his daughter Tiffany is a good, dear friend of my kids.
Love her.
And she's at the house all the time.
Love her.
And, you know, she hangs with my wife and hangs with the kids and all that. First of all, Chris and my relationship was a little different from probably yours and 50's because Chris got in the business after me. So we had a different...
You was already in
Yeah, I was already... So, you know, we had a different type of relationship, you know? And, you know, we were friends.
Right.
And we were, you know, I looked at... You know, we looked at each other as counterparts.
Mm.
And he managed me. He did. He made a lot of things for me. But our relationship, you know, was... what you think?
Right.
What you think? Mm-hmm. Let's get X, let's get Y. Like, I remember when he was interning at Def Jam and stuff like that. But the thing I remember most about Chris is that he was a really, 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 really smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good dude.
Right.
And he wasn't soft. Like, I remember Chris used to let me in the tunnel when he was a bodyguard at the tunnel. Chris used to do security at the tunnel.
I never heard of this story.
Yeah, Chris used to do security at the tunnel.
Let's get into it.
And he'd be outside with his bulletproof vest on.
I heard he was running the tunnel. I never heard he was security.
Oh, yeah. Chris was, you know, he may have been involved in the business aspects too, but when I seen Chris, he had a bulletproof vest on outside the front door like, yo. And I used to be like, yo, Chris. He was like, Mr. Smith, come on in. Yo, he's like the good fella, you know. He was a gangster. You know, Chris was, he was a real guy.
I'm glad I met him later.
I'm telling you. And but I mean, all of the people, you know, like, I'll tell you, just to switch gears for a minute, like Lior, the first time I met Lior was a promoter in L.A., and when I met him, he came to pick me up from the airport because I had a show.
Wait, he was a promoter in Los Angeles.
Yes.
When you say L.A.,
yeah,
you're not
Los
saying...
Los Angeles, not like Laurelton. Los Angeles.
He knew where I was going.
Yeah, yeah. And the driver's door didn't open. I mean, the passenger door didn't open. You had to get in the car through the driver's side, both of us.
Mm.
And we drove, and he was telling me how we're going to change hip-hop. And let me tell you something. He was prophetic, though, because everything he talked about came true.
Wow.
But he was very much, you know, I mean, this was a guy that was walking around with, you know, no laces in his sneakers, you know, behind, like, chasing behind Jam Master J with a joint in his mouth.
Like, real,
you know what I'm saying?
Real,
like,
Run DMC.
Like, he was a real, like, he wasn't this... the corporate titan that he ultimately became. But I always had respect for him because Lior is the one who made the deal. See, I own my whole catalog.
You owned it from the beginning?
I owned it ultimately with my deal, you know, when I got to a certain position with Def Jam, I did a deal where I owned my catalog, right? Lior is the one that did that deal.
Wow.
So I have to always respect Lior for that because, you know, he didn't have to do it. They were trying to figure out how to make a deal that was rich enough for me to want to stay.
Right.
And, you know, at the same time, they wanted to come up to a certain number but not go beyond that. So, you know, I said, well, you know, give me the catalog. And they said, okay, we worked that out. And we got the catalog. So Def Jam has a really small interest in my catalog. I own it. And so when you hear LL Cool J song,
so Mama
in the movies,
Say Knock You Out.
All that.
The whole catalog.
When you hear LL Cool
J. You own Mama Say Knock You Out?
Cali, Let's Mama Say I Need Love, all that.
Mama Say Knock You Out.
Yeah, yeah. Mama Say, yeah, all that.
L on that, goddamn.
You know, so when you hear my records in movies and on TV and stuff, I've licensed that. You know? Wow. Anytime you hear LL Cool J song, LL has licensed it.
Okay, that's another goal I'm going to take after you.
Yeah.
I took the wife shit. It worked out.
But let me tell you something. Let me be transparent. The reason I'm sharing this is because I don't think the hip hop community understands a lot of the things that, you know, I've been doing in my career. I think that it's been kind of a mystery, and I never was a guy that, like, asked my publicist to get me in Forbes.
Right.
I've never been the guy who really went out of his way to try to market myself as smart. I just never did that because I came from more of a pure place of just wanting to rock the mic. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was never, like, I'll give you another thing. Like, there was this whole rumor back in the days that, oh, LL Cool J, you know, he's upset because he didn't become the president of Def Jam. Which is,
I was going there.
Can I just say something? Like, I can't even describe to you how ultimately and utterly ridiculous that is. And let me explain to you why. Why would... Look, I
wanted you to be the...
Did Michael Jackson want to be the president of Motown? Like...
I don't relate to Michael. I wanted Al to be the president.
I never wanted that. I wanted to make music. See,
but people, I wanted to get a budget from you.
I wanted to. That's great.
I know you were clear.
I know it's clear. A beautiful thing. Maybe. But the thing is, I just wanted to be an artist, Nori.
Right.
Like, I'm not ashamed of being a rapper. Like, I don't need to convince you that I'm more than a rapper.
Mm.
Like, I'm okay with that. So because that's all I want to do is be a rapper and be the best rapper. Like, that's what I grew up wanting to do.
So let me ask you something, right? Yeah. As a rapper.
Right.
When you hear stories like Lil Wayne.
Right.
Where Lil Wayne is getting maybe taken advantage of. Right. We don't really know.
Yeah.
We already know what we see.
It's nothing. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's nothing that Lil Wayne did wrong. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because, like, I told you I own my catalog, and I told you that ultimately I got a great deal. But you know what? If Russell was the worst person in the world, he could have easily taken advantage of me. Mm. He could have easily gave me one of those bozo deals that you hear nightmares about. But you know what? Russell wasn't that kind of guy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I mean, you know, early on, we did my publishing 50-50. Ultimately, I got all my publishing back, of course. But early on, it was like that. But even then... With my first contract, he only went 50-50. He didn't take it all. So a lot of times when you hear about guys with bad deals, that says more about the executives that they were dealing with than the actual artists. It's not about them being dumb. It's not about them being dumb. Because you know what? Some guys, I give them credit. Like some of the guys, you know, like I told you, I hung around a lot of street guys, but that's not who I was. Mm. Right? I wasn't a hustler personally. Those were just my friends. Wow. But so some guys who are actually hustlers and actually had that life, they get to benefit from all the experiences that they had hustling. So when they come into the game, they're able to make better deals earlier. But some of us, because we weren't hustlers and because we didn't experience, you know, getting cheated and screwed and scammed, we were just innocent kids rapping. We may have been from a rough community, but we were really just innocent kids who loved rhyming. So when you go in and you sign your deal, it's not the greatest deal in the world because you're just excited to be there. And you don't have that maturity and that grit and that, you know, that grizzle that allows you to, you know, make a better deal early. So some of these guys did benefit. There were benefits for some of them. Some benefited, some didn't. But I don't blame any of these younger artists. You know, now what I would say is that now with the internet, because the internet wasn't what it was
even
now.
To play in there, Phil?
Well, there's access to information.
Like research. Mm. Yeah.
You have information out there.
Right.
So you got to want the information. You got to want to make a great deal. Do you want to make a great deal? Are you patient? Do you have the balls to say no?
Because
are you comfortable saying no?
That was the crazy thing is when Def Jam, we got themselves together, I asked them, like, are y'all bringing back LL? And they never answered my question.
Well, but you know, to be fair...
Because your Def Jam is Leor.
Right.
Kevin Lyles.
I understand.
Russell Simmons. I'm asking.
What it is that, you know, look, when you're young and you don't know how to play the political game...
Mm.
You can rub people the wrong way.
Now because, you are the Def Jam child.
Yeah, but
you didn't rub nobody the wrong way.
No. But you can, like, what I'm saying basically is that, man, like, you know, nobody's perfect, man. I don't begrudge those guys nothing because, you know, the resistance that I, you know, pressure makes diamonds, man.
Mm.
You know, it can bust pipes, but it makes diamonds. So the resistance that I felt and the little things that they did just encouraged me to go out there and do something greater. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And just do something and be a master.
We got an open bottle of rosé? Open another bottle.
Oh, now, if I drink another bottle of rosé, we might fly to Vegas.
We bring you back to Queens. We bring you back to Queens.
We doing the goddamn drink champs in Vegas.
Listen, Al, I'm going to be honest, Al. Yo, I have never been a man more than I was the man when I had you come to my hood. Now, I had you, listen, this day, I had Cameron come to my hood. I had Jim Jones come to my hood. I had Run DMC come to my hood. I had everybody come to my hood. But the one thing that everybody said was like, we're not going inside. Al was the only person said, I'll go inside. And I'm looking at you like, you sure?
You remember that time?
Yo,
you said, I'm with you, I'm good.
Nah, I love my people. We ain't afraid of our people.
But Al, I still feel like you don't feel like, you don't really realize
how much,
let me give you a props, okay. Please. I have to do it. I still don't feel like you realize how much that you meant to people in Queens. Now, EFN is my partner. He's from Miami. He's born in L.A. He might have a whole totally different thing. But for us in Queens, there was no other nigga that we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nas. I mean, I remember one time, me and Fat Joe, we had an hour and a half conversation of who means more to him. LL. To him or to me?
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
I felt like we was going to fight.
That's beautiful, man.
That's the first time I felt like me and Fat Joe was going to fight. I said, Fat Joe, you can't claim Al. You from the Bronx. You got to relax. You got to stop.
I love Joe, man.
He's like, Fat Joe was like, what? I love Al. I'm like, by default, you don't love him as much as I love him. By default. And he just didn't, like, I'm talking about we seriously arguing. I felt like this argument happened 6 times.
That's crazy.
And
nah, it's a blessing, man. But, I love it, man.
But that's how real hip-hop, this is what Drink Champs is about. I don't know if you know, Al. Drink Champs is about giving our stars flowers when they can smell them and giving them trees when they can inhale them.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. Because every other genre, every other music, when these people become icons or classics, they support them. Why doesn't hip hop have that platform?
Well, you know,
L. Yeah, hip hop does have this platform.
You're doing it.
We are doing it, goddamn it. High five, goddamn it. Don't you get smart on me. You don't get smart on me. Don't do that. We got it already, Al. Where you drink at? Where you drink at, Al? Listen, LL Cool J came to Left Rack City, and I'm gonna be honest. I was so embarrassed because I was like, yo, you know when you need walk through, you walk through. I was like, I hope a crackhead didn't pee. And it was mad pee in the crackhead. And I'm looking at L. I'm like, this nigga's gonna leave.
Nah, L. No.
L said,
what?
L act like he didn't smell the pee. He didn't see the pee. He just
walked through. And that's what's that? What's that? I don't know.
But not only that, Al, you not only filmed the video, you actually came and chilled in Capone's van. Fantastic. And we started watching videos.
I remember.
And you actually, like, people got to really understand how cool, because you know why? We put you on a pedestal in Queens, and we should. You deserve that pedestal, and you should stay in that pedestal. But at the same time, people should understand how cool you are. Down to earth you are. How you'll shake anybody's hand.
You know what, man? Even no matter what I'm doing in my life, you know, I always tell people, you know, I'm in Hollywood, but I never went Hollywood.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know.
Keep talking. Oh, I got to take a pee-pee.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what happened? you know.
Good luck trying to go. You're going there. Phil, take the cameras while he's taking a pee-pee.
Yeah, I'll talk to Effin. So, you know, that was the thing. You know, this is a funny moment right here. He's like, I got to go pee-pee. But, you know, that was the thing, you know? That was the thing for
Thank
me.
You, brother.
You know what I'm saying?
Whatever happened to Cut Creator, man? I'm going to take the DJ opportunity here.
Jay Philpott is my man, you know what I'm saying? I just felt like creatively I wanted to stretch a little bit and try some new things. But he's always my friend. He's still my friend. We speak. And he does like Tom Joyner. He does different crews. He does different parties. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so he's still working.
Yeah, he's still working. You know, but I've been using Z-Trip. You know, me and Z-Trip have been, you know, DJ Z-Trip has been DJing for me for,
pushing toilet, featuring the toilet flush.
Oh man, yeah, that was crazy. That reminded me of the 5 heartbeats or some shit. Toilet flushing and all that.
Yeah, you kicked the crew out. Oh, you kept them in there.
Kick the niggas out.
But nah, he's good. I've been working with Z-Trip for about almost 10 years now.
Z-Trip is
on. Yeah, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? So that's been like a vibe.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest. When you walk through my hood,
this guy went to peep and come right back on it like that.
This is what he's doing.
That's how it happens. But I'm not gonna lie, I wish my nephew was here.
He's here.
talking?
You gotta relax. I was talking about you in theory.
That's my nephew. That's my nephew.
Look, look, he's a young homie in the video. I was talking about you in theory. I didn't know you was here. But it meant so much to our hood. It meant so much to our neighborhood when you came out, because we've been the farmers. We understand what farmers is, the red block, the red, black, and green rock.
Yeah.
How crazy Farmers Boulevard is. Like, from back then. Like, see, a lot of people don't... Like, Farmers is almost gentrified now. Almost. A little bit.
Nah,
I see you got a Whole Foods. You got a Whole Foods.
Listen.
You don't got a Whole Foods?
Nah, they still got the, you know, hell no.
You don't got a Whole Foods?
They might have a Whole Foods over there, but it ain't gentrified. Nah.
Once you got a Whole Foods, you gentrified.
I don't think it's a Whole Foods over there.
I feel like you got an organic
place.
You got a juice bar. Once you got a juice bar, it's over.
Now that Jamaicans is running it, that joint is Jamaican. I got all the Jamaicans. I got all my homies Jamaicans in there. They're like, yo, they got the juices and fruits and juices. That's a dread spot.
It's on Tiger Bowl and shit.
Now, Farmers ain't gentrified, but you know, it's a beautiful community. People may not have a lot of money, mm-hmm. but they got a lot of dignity, and they want to, you know, they want to make something better for their families. And they want to have a life, you know what I'm saying? And you got a melting pot of people. You got Haitians, you got Jamaicans, you got Dominicans, you got, you know, people, you know, from all different, you know, just like all in that community. I think it's a beautiful place, you know what I'm saying?
Well, my friend Steph is from Farmers, right?
Okay. Well, can we ask him if there's a Whole Foods? Because I'm really not sure.
No, he's crazy. He's taking meds. I can't even talk to him. But I love him. I went too far.
I'm gonna Google this stuff.
I went too far.
Nah, you ain't go too far.
Nah, I feel like my people was like, "Oh my god, why are you going there?"
Relax.
But Steph is from Farmers Boulevard, so I used to go to Farmers Boulevard. I used to sit on the rock, the red, black, and green rock. I used to sit on it as a child.
Oh, that's crazy.
As a child, but then you came out, and I was like, "Oh my god, could I got killed?"
Yeah, that area. Nah, it's, you know, that area has been some. It's definitely, it's like any other boroughs.
Let me pour you another drink.
No, bro.
Come on.
listen.
This is what we do here.
When Irish eyes are smiling.
You know this Puff Daddy, liquor. You want one shot?
Top of the morning to you,
Nori. You got to take one
shot. No, good, okay.
50 Cent took five shots with us.
Listen, I would care if 50 took 19. He took more than that, didn't he? How many shots did he actually take? Wasn't it nine? Or is it five?
Five.
Okay, he took five.
You take one? I can't believe
50 took five shots. That shit is crazy. 50 Cent was at the bar. How many shots did he take? Bruce.
I didn't put. Thank you, Al. I didn't put two and two together the way you want to do. Big you up, 50.
Big up to 50. That's my man.
But Al don't drink, though.
I don't drink like that. Nah, I drink occasionally, but nah, I don't drink like that.
Occasions.
Occasions. Drink Champs. I'm at a podcast called Drink Champs. How can I sit here and drink?
I'm going to salute to that. All right, let me give you some more champagne. You got to take a shot.
I'm good.
You got to take a shot. There's more shots.
Already, we had the peer pressure talk already.
I'm good.
Y'all had the peer pressure talk?
The house.
We had KRS here. We had who
else? KRS had a million Mai Tais.
No, KRS had a million Mai Tais. I can't lie.
KRS had a million Mai Tais.
KRS won.
Let's go back to cannabis, because I just want you to understand how you destroyed a man's career. But it was dope. I mean, but he can't eat.
I brought him out at the Barclays Center. When I did the concert in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but he's already broke.
I brought him out. Put my arm around him and brought him out there. I did.
I said I did.
I feel like it was too late. You crushed him.
Too late. Too late, baby.
But in your mind, you said, I gotta crush this little nigga. But why did you do that? Because you know why?
I was defending myself.
Because he was like computer literate at this time. When nobody else, he was the only nigga writing rhymes on a computer. And I had a session with him, and I said, what is he doing? He wrote a rhyme on a computer. I didn't like it. Me personally, but you acted on it.
Yeah.
You ain't like it neither?
I don't know.
High five for being petty. High five for being petty. Let's make some noise for being petty. LL.
Yeah. I got some petty pills.
I take a petty pill every now and then.
You take a petty pill?
A petty pill every now and then.
I take a petty pill every day.
Not every day. I don't take it every day.
I think you
try
medication.
I try to do my, they go high, they go low, I go high.
I'm gonna send Cody in the petty bills.
The petty pills.
Just in case.
I was definitely a little egoed out with that
This is how I'm gonna throw it to Claudine. Behind my neck.
Nah, but I wish homie the best though. I don't want to see anybody have misstep.
That's what I'm saying, because some people, they don't understand that when you crush a person's career, like, you actually crush their life. Are you ever like, because Kumo D has never had a hit record since you slaughtered him.
He knows this.
He never had a hit record after you dissed him. I'm just throwing it out.
That's all, folks. Listen, man. That's about his decisions. You got to make your own decisions. He got to make decisions. You get to the crossroads, you got to pick right or left.
Al, you crush these people's career. Can you say something nice for them? Not nice.
Eulogy and shit?
Not nice. But say something, the reason why, because...
Why did I do what I did?
I'll explain it very simple. Yeah, please.
I'll make it very easy for you. My thing is this, this was my feeling. My feeling is, I have a fan base. I have people that, look to me and enjoy my music and celebrate my art. Mm-hmm. If you come out talking about, me in a foul way and trying to undermine me, you're trying to get in my pocket and you're stepping on my toes and you're in the way. And I got to get you out of the way immediately. That was my thinking on it.
And Mama said, knock you out.
At a minimum.
At a minimum.
At a minimum.
Yo, listen. Make some noise for LL, goddammit. Sorry. Continue your story.
That was it.
But cannabis, I just felt like... No, because what? I noticed my nephew.
You gotta relax.
Why are you tapping me?
I wanna ask him something.
Good, ask him something.
What's up?
I heard you had a fight or something with Jamie Foxx, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Any given Sunday. I seen that movie yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why. This is why God is good.
All the time.
I can't sleep because I still up. Listen.
Them petty pills. Just keep you up.
Yeah, we have to listen to records about
deep. I'm petty. Wait a minute. I'm petty. I can't sleep.
These records got more meaning.
Oh, yeah. I'm real petty. I can't.
No, but let me tell you. Listen, whenever I interview an artist, I want to give them the most respect ever.
Amen.
Because hip hop should be a celebration. I sat down with Leo Combs the other day, and he said, the reason why you're winning.
Because we are going to do something phenomenal.
Celebration.
This is going to be an
absolute. And you are actually celebrating it.
It's a war of attrition.
So I'm looking. I'm looking, right? And then any given Sunday is on my TV. So I look at it. And then mind you, I forgot I had did like 2 or 3 songs for it. So I was like, oh, my residuals was popping. Yeah, yeah.
Business.
But then I'm looking and I'm like, damn. And then when you and Jamie Foxx actually interacted and me hearing the rumors.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at it like, this is great cinema. This is really great cinema. Like, this is actually...
Now, I'll tell you what happened.
Please tell us what happened. We don't know.
What really happened, the real story is that when we were doing the scene, I think, Jamie, although he was experienced to somewhat, he was still a little green. Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite as green, but I was green too.
Mm-hmm.
And, meaning inexperienced, So we were doing the scene, I was being aggressive, and I was like, but this is character to character. I'm like,
what scene are we talking about?
Something like that.
After the huddle.
And I'm like, you gotta, and I'm slapping the shoulders and this and that.
You went like that.
But he's got equipment on, right? It's not like, we're not at the pool and
shit.
Jamie, he's got equipment on. So, So he got upset and he's like, stop being so rough with me. So I was like, that didn't compute.
So we
did Farmers Boulevard
No,
tell me when Farmers Boulevard.
So we did another take.
Okay.
And I was rough with him again. And then, you know, I don't know why, but you know, he thought it was a good idea to punch me in my face.
Not in the script.
No, it wasn't the script. Nah, this wasn't scripted.
Wait.
I'm keeping it 100 with you. Right. You want me to keep it 100?
Right,
I'm
going
to keep it 100.
I'm going to shut up.
He punched me in my face. So I looked at him after he punched me in my face. I said, why'd you do that?
Wait, tell me. You looked at him?
Huh? Yeah. He punched me in the face and I looked at him. I said, why'd you do that?
I would describe this scene.
Act it out, Lori.
So I said,
I feel like Al went like that.
Something like that. But not quite. I was a little tighter than that. I was giving him tight. So I like looked at him. I said, why'd you do that? And he said, look. And he like was turned to the side.
You know, he was squaring up.
He had his helmet on. He was turned to the side. He said, I told you before, don't put your hands on me. Period. So, yo, when he said that, my left hand grabbed the face mask, and as I was pulling his helmet off, my right hand was punching his chin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Was just like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Queens.
And then, you know, he was laying there, and I was like, I thought he was faking because he was asleep. Oh, yeah. I was faking. Dog, no, but that's not what it ended. Then the whole team jumped on me, right? So they wrestled me down. You know the whole team. You know,
like,
to break it up. So I'm under the huddle and I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then somebody tries to reach in and like give me a little eye gouge. Somebody did that, right? So, but not a good idea because I turned my head to the side and went, oh, caught his hand in his, he's like, see, that's the thing with the whole MMA thing. Dude's thinking, yeah, you're gonna get me in a leg lock. I'm biting your esophagus off. Like, all that leg lock shit, I'm gonna bite your throat off, B. Like, we got to get it in. Like, this ain't, the rules is out. So I turned to the side, and he pulled his hand off the thing, and then they finally broke it up. But, since then, me and Jamie got cool, and we have laughed about it. We made songs together, like, we cool. So I don't mind telling the story now. But, you know, what it is just, you know, but, yo, Oliver's crazy. Oliver Stone, Yeah, he was the director.
And that's actually the guy that's actually the sports announcer in Any Given Sunday.
Yes.
He's actually that's in there. And I'm looking at him.
He's who wrote Scarface.
Scarface.
Platoon, you know.
Yeah, he's legendary.
He's amazing. So, you know, it was just a funny time, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that was the thing, you know, it's just, you know, Jamie, you know, he just got off, you know, he was on his Willie Beeman and I couldn't take it and all that, man, like, right. you know,
because
you know, and under the right circumstances, you might let a punch slide, you might.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not impossible. Now, everybody's not a straight murderer all the time. Dude hit you, under the right circumstances, you'd be like, if he would have said to me, like, you know, oh, yo, you know, and I'd have been like, you know, I don't even know if I could have took it then. I take that back. Sure. Yeah, I could have took it. I couldn't handle that shit.
Cause you couldn't handle it.
It would drove me insane. I would have been waking up in the middle of the night just like he played me. Like, I just couldn't take it. Yeah.
So, cause you even beat niggas up who broke in your house. The niggas that broke in your house, you pounded them out.
Yeah, I don't want to. That's a rough one though. That's because the difference with that is that wasn't funny because I was terrified.
Oh, word? What happened?
Of course. I mean, you listen, man. If it's 1 a.m, you know, and you come down from
here. And this is Cali. Why is
I gotta tell you, your segues on the questions, you're very smooth. And it's very effective. It's a very smooth and subtle. It's a nice thing you're doing. Because you hook a scene, you get it nice, you bait it, you set it up, you tee it up, and the next thing you know, people are talking. That's pretty good. That's good. You could have been an attorney. That's good. That was good. Come in, you.
I'm so sorry.
It's very
smooth.
I'm so sorry.
It was amazing. Like I was just, it was like a, it was wonderful to watch. You know what I mean?
He could ask you anything like that.
Crazy. That was amazing.
The only nigga that caught my shit.
That was crazy.
And he's looking at me too, like, oh man.
But now when the dude broke in my house, the difference is that, you know, I had fights growing up, and we've all of us, I'm sure everybody in this room had fights in the hood and different things, you scraps or whatever. But how many of us have really fought for our lives? Maybe dudes in jail, you might get that feeling, you did a big, you feel like you're fighting for your life. Right. Fighting for your life it's not the same funny feeling like fighting like in the hood, just, you know, let's get it. I'm really scared.
And the only thing,
this is for keeps, you know, I'm going to get it in like whatever
and
it takes.
And I only read it on TMZ, I have no idea.
And so it was 1 a.m, and, you know, the alarm pad went off, but it's, you know how you have an alarm and like, if for those who have an alarm, it'll give you a minute to put your code in. Right. It'll go ee, and you have to turn your alarm off. Well, mine just went ee, and so I went to the keypad and some old sleep, and I'm looking at the keypad and I'm like, family room. And she said, family room, wasn't it? So I'm thinking.
Wait, so you mean it, when it walks, it tells you where the default is.
I think that's the word. So, you know, I'm in my drawers. It's 1 a.m. So I just say, you know what? I'm thinking it's like my daughter sneaking in. You know, maybe I don't know. She coming in
late. I deal with that too.
I'm like, oh, dun. Let me go down here and see what's happening. So I'm just walking downstairs. Got my drawers. I turned the alarm off. Walk downstairs. Come down. And when I was going towards the kitchen, he's coming out of the kitchen, and then we face to face. And he's got all black on. He's got a big bag. He's got the Lon Manson beard, boots. You know, and he's looking at. Huh.
Is he black?
No.
White. He's white?
He's a white dude.
Oh, you pounded him out immediately.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Let's go there.
Oh, God. I mean, terrified.
You see Rick Rubin, freaky. But it wasn't Rick Rubin.
It was freaky. I think, you know, stupid mother. That's all you're stupid mother. You know, everything you could, every stupid mother you could ever heard on everywhere. And I was like, you know, and then I got him down, and then it took the police.
Wait, you skipped. Right, you got him down.
No, I don't want to.
But how?
We fought. To rock for a minute, and then you hit him with that cross fit. And when you got your drawers on, that's some real like, that's some real gorilla like gorilla mat. Yeah, I feel like for the old school dudes, I feel like Pentatech. Get him down. You know, I have my drawers on and shit. You know, no socks. It's like nasty. I'm swinging. I'm rocking. It's on. Like it's nasty.
So mind you, you're walking downstairs. You don't know.
Of course not. I'm in my house.
You think like, you? All right.
Yo, right. You in your drawers in your house. I don't care. You in your drawers in your house going to get some juice, drinking out the juice bottle that nobody knows you drink out of, and the same one you give to all your guests. Nobody knows you be tearing that joint up. And I just went down, and then Holmes came out of nowhere, and it was just like, you know, it was turning. He was like, and I was like, oh! And it just, yo, we just had to rock. Like,
right.
Nah, and then, I'll tell you the deepest thing, though. You know, this is the part that's not fun, even, is that there was a point when I had to decide whether or not he should stay alive.
You mean you and him?
No, when I had him subdued, because I didn't know if he had anyone else with him.
Right.
Subdued. When I had him, when I had control of the situation, when I had him on the ground, on his back, on his stomach, finished, and, you know, laying there, I had to make that decision because I didn't know if he had someone upstairs, you know, I didn't know if people were coming from, so I had to think, I didn't have rope available, like, I'm not planning, like, I ain't LL Manson. Like, I don't have a rope around the house just in case I have to tie up somebody. You know, so I'm like looking at the dude, and I had to make a decision. You know, and I credit Simone because she's like, Todd, just wait. The cops. She's calling the cops. She got on the 911, and then I saw my daughter come down the steps, and she's like, what's going on? And she's like with the drawers on. I'm like, this is freaky. And my youngest daughter slept through the whole thing. She had a playmate. She had a playmate or a play date. She had somebody over at the house. They slept through the whole thing. And then her parents, it was the interesting thing. Her parents called the next, like that morning when we woke up. They was like, oh, you know, yeah, yeah, she can stay. You know, it's no problem. Like, if that was my daughter, like, I'm so kidding. You letting your daughter stay? I had an intruder. I just, oh, no, she's safe. She's fine. I'm like, yo, they must be having a really good time. Whatever they're doing, they got some really big rings. You know, there's a really big thing. Because they...
But, okay, you know, so before that was it, because yeah, people are telling me you gotta leave, and I gotta respect you because I really love you. But before we get up out of here, I need to know about raised out. She was raised.
Represent Queens. She was raised out in Brooklyn.
Represent Queens.
I represent Queens. She was raised out in Brooklyn. What about it?
I just need you to break that down.
I represent Queens
because Angie Martinez forever thought it was about her. They're serious. Not saying the record was about her. Oh. I'm saying she represented that record. She saying that you smashed Angie
Martinez. No, no, no. Let me get this done.
I'm so sorry. Like, did I set it up like
it's
that?
It's my first time together.
Like
that?
Totally set it up now.
It's my first time with Angie. I'm feeling her on.
Yo, what happened to the light? I didn't mean like that, but I meant like because she was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nah. Yeah. It was just a record. Like, you know, that was a. It was what it was, you know? Mm-hmm. It was funny because, you know, that was a beat that Rashad had let me hear. His lights are blinking.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, I thought it was the Rosé.
That's Revolt.
That's Revolt. That's the Rosé.
We're going to text Puffy later.
You know, I just, that beat, you know, Puffy actually had wanted that beat for Biggie. And, you know, he called me. I'm like, oh, I want my beat back. It's like, not so much. I love you, but not so much. And, but, you know, Puff's my man, and right. Big understood, you know what I'm saying? Right. It was mine. It was what it was. It was just like, you know how producers, they play everybody right. beats, and Biggie, you know, he really, you know, God bless him, may he rest in peace, he's a talented artist.
Yeah.
He really had his heart set on that one, you know, but, you know, that's how it went.
Who's your favorite producer?
Producer?
Yeah. Damn. Who can LL get in the studio or what? It's say, fuck
everybody.
There's
some amazing producers out there, man.
Give me one.
I don't even want to say, man.
Give me two.
I don't even want to say, but yo, it's some crazy producers.
Give me
out
three.
There.
Give me a top three producers.
Some top three?
Yeah.
Oh, top three. Okay. I think Dre is serious.
I agree.
I think Timbaland is serious. And
didn't expect that one.
You know, it's been a while, but you know, Marley was really, really serious. You know what I mean? And Primo, yes. You know, Primo's serious too.
I really wanted you to say Marley Marl.
That's my dog. Listen, man, I love all of these dudes, man. They're all good.
Go. My son is scared to walk through.
What's up, man?
Yeah, give him five. Give him five.
What's up?
Give him five.
Me and good?
And you're on Revolt TV, goddammit. All right, move. Because you know, your people is telling me you gotta go, and I gotta respect your people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and you know what? Because I respect you, because
thanks.
If it wasn't for you, in a lot of ways, it wouldn't be me.
Thanks,
and
man.
And I always respect you.
I respect you too.
But I have to ask, because I feel like you brought this to hip hop. The GOAT.
Yeah.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah.
That phrase came from LL Cool J.
I got it from Ali. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, we didn't know that.
From, you know, Ali, you know, I was saying the greatest of all time, but I made it the GOAT. You know what I'm saying?
Is LL the greatest of all time?
I think I probably have one of the greatest careers. You know, I think that on any given day, somebody can make a better song, but it's really about a career.
So can I floss for you?
Yeah.
You are the greatest of all time,
my
motherfucker.
Man,
I felt like you were being humble. Being too humble. I felt like you're being too humble.
But you know, a lot of times you gotta remember that, you know, I don't know, you know.
But who's LL?
If I got popped when Mama Said Knock You Out came out, maybe people would feel different about me.
You gotta relax, because you won that.
You know,
you won that.
I'm saying like if got shot or was finished out or got done.
If you
or
got shot.
If somebody did.
Let's not wish that.
No, I never. I don't receive that at all. God knows.
I don't know where you're
going.
I'm
saying, like, if Rakim would have went away. What I'm basically saying is that
that there is something magical that happens with great artists when they're not here.
Yes, you're
and
right.
And they get, you know, looked at. People grow to appreciate them.
But it's magical happening with you right now while you being doing TV.
I'm blessed.
Magical. So just in case you don't know, lip sync battle, we are all sitting back.
And it's for hip hop. Like everything
it's
I do, all the moves I make,
this
you know
is
what I'm
for
hip hop
right now.
No question.
You ain't had to be here.
But I wanted to be here because
and you
because
came here because you
and
fucking hip hop.
And you
fucking hip hop.
Thank
you, Al. Thank you, Al. But I just want you to know that if you never heard it before, even though you brung this phrase to hip hop, you are the greatest of all time.
Thank you, I appreciate it. And what's really
and you're
amazing,
alive.
I am. I'm truly
there's
I am.
There's a lot of people we say greatest of all time. Rest in peace.
That's true. I'd
we
rather
ain't
be
saying rest in peace.
I'd much rather be alive and debating it. Yeah. How about that one?
We saying the greatest all
that one on. I'd rather be alive and debating it, baby. You know.
We saying the greatest of all
but
time.
But you know, again.
And you're alive, LL. Make some noise. This is how you know shit is real. My Rolex came apart.
It's time. That means it's time.
Yeah, it's time. But so, listen, Al, we really appreciate you, Al. I know you got to go. We know you on a schedule. We understand everything you do. This is what we do. What our culture, our society, excuse me, everybody up there, be quiet. Our society is about giving our legends flowers when they can smell them and giving them trees when they can inhale them. And because you know why? Our culture, when you get to 30 years, you get to 40 years, you get to 45 or 50 years, they ride us off. But meanwhile, Motley Crue is out there touring. Meanwhile, fucking Rolling Stones. And I don't got no beef with them. I don't give a fuck about them. I'm all right myself.
I understand.
But I want to continue to support our culture.
And, you know, also what would help that, I think, is, you know, if the veteran artists make better decisions and if they value themselves.
Meaning?
Because, you know, I am humble, that's true, but I do know my value.
No, we know you know your
value. And I understand who I am.
Yes,
I'm clear about that.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, my business decisions and the moves that I make reflect that.
Yes.
And, you know, I think a lot of our artists, you know, they forget who they are.
Mm.
And, they think that it's about your last hot record, but it's not. It's more than that. It's more than just a hot record.
I need to hear this.
It's not about just your last hot record.
Everybody be quiet, because I ain't going to lie. I need to hear this.
You know, it's not. It's about your career. It's about, you know, that's one of the things Russell taught me earlier. It's about having a career.
Mm.
You know, I could go out and play, you know, and have 50, 60, 70,000 people out there. I can go out there and, you know, do festivals. I can go do different things. And I think that, you know, our veterans, sometimes they forget that.
Right.
They forget who they are. They get lost. They get discouraged.
Mm.
Because they make it about the radio.
Mm.
They make it about only 14-year-olds. They make it about...
But you can't live without your radio.
Back then. Yeah, well, I got a television now.
Oh.
And you know...
I didn't beat you in the battle. He beat me in the battle. He destroyed me.
You know? So I just, you know, I just think we just have to know who we are. We got to believe in ourselves. You know, what I would say to all the viewers is that you got to remember that dreams don't have deadlines.
Mm.
And you got to remember never to limit yourself. You know, Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken at 65 years old. Mm. There are no limits on this thing. You can be successful as long as you want to be successful. You know, Michael Jackson had, he may rest in peace, had hot records. He had a sold out world tour coming. He was 50 years old when he passed. Don't overestimate the gift of youth and underestimate the gift of experience. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, and like I say to all the artists out there, like there's a lot of people found out when they put their records on SoundCloud that it's not as easy to make hot shit as you thought, huh? With them 4 views. Huh? How you like them 4 or 5 views? Huh? How's that feel? How's that working for you? Remember when you were critiquing my album, the one you said was trash? You know?
And now you got 7 views.
It was trash because it only went gold. Remember that? How do those 4 views feel right now? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's
You know,
yo, can you lead the Petty Gang with me?
Which, yo, because you know,
Petty Gang,
because what happened was, Petty Gang
hoodies. It's like they threw them. It's like if rap. One thing I will say about hip hop is a funny, just a sidebar. If hip hop was the NBA, it's like they took the ball and threw it to the stands. It's like the mic, like we just said, hey, they just threw the audience in the crowd and said, y'all do it.
Yeah. Yep.
So now everybody's, you know, because for every Chance the Rapper who is truly talented and
Chance
amazing.
Chance the Rapper.
Yes. For every one of them, there's 1,000 of them that didn't do it. So what am I saying? Basically what I'm saying is there is some skill involved with this.
Mm.
And it does take talent.
Mm.
And it isn't luck. We all need a little bit of luck sprinkled in our lives.
Of course.
But the guys who made it yourself,
right.
Some of the other artists you named, some of these guys, your favorite rappers and artists, and they are talented.
Right.
And, you know, so what the internet has showed us is it's given us the opportunity to find out that, guess what? Rappers really are talented.
Mm-hmm.
These guys really have talent, and they really are artists.
Right.
Because if that wasn't true, then everybody
would be on. If they're not.
Yeah, there's a few one-hit wonders here and there, but this thing takes talent.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, so, you know, I think that that's just something that, and those old school guys out there, they need to just make better decisions and remember that they're talented and not be overwhelmed by this idea that you're obsolete and irrelevant. This is not, you know, when you're 35 years old, you don't need to keep going back to your prom, you know? You don't have to live life like you're going back to the prom.
I'm 39.
Exactly.
I'll be 40 this year.
Young, relative.
I'm doing 3 parties: L.A., New York, and Miami.
I love it.
Can I have you a part of one of them? I don't know. I don't know why I threw that in there. I don't know what happened.
Because
I'm trying to promote.
That's what you do. I mean, how you think we got here? You're unbelievable.
But Al, let me tell you something.
I mean, really look around at the life you created. Al. Like, hey, Chip. Like, really look at this. Like, this is unbelievable. You're amazing.
Yo, Al, I love you, Al. Let me tell you something, Al. I love
Where's
you.
Capone?
Listen. I'm going to snuff him soon as he pull up because he told me he was supposed to be here. Because listen. I don't invite him to podcast. But when Al is in,
oh man, I want to see.
He hit me.
12. You told him earlier.
And then, listen, you know I lie because I come from Violator. So I lied to them.
Oh yeah. You told him 12.
I told him 12. I know I had you locked in at 2:30, but I told him 12.
Of course you did,
because I come from Chris Lighty School.
I know.
We
can't fall asleep in the getaway car, though. You know, people fall asleep in the getaway car. It's like, take the bucket of chicken off your lap and get out the car, please. It's like, you know, you gotta be on time. That's another thing.
Yeah, I'll be on time.
You need discipline. Be on time.
Can we teach the youth about being on time? Because let me tell you something. Just now, recently, I've been, you know, doing what I got to do. So Leo hits me, and Leo goes, I need to meet you at the Polo Lounge. Right? This is in.
This is why he's laughing.
No, because I know it's loaded. His scheme is already set.
To meet you at the Polo. I have a bunch of.
It's like all of this shit. It's like me, all back here.
Me, Ali, amazing. Randy Acker, we set it all up. But me and Ali is only there. So we pull up at 7:45. Leo's already there. But he told us to meet us at 8 o'clock. But this is what I'm trying to tell young people is...
Be on time.
He told me to meet him at 8 o'clock. We pulled up at 7:45 and he was already ready.
There you go.
He's sitting there like this. Let's go. And I'm like...
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because he wanna have the best chair in the meeting and all that.
Did I say that, Ali?
Get there early.
Did I say that, Ali? Well, you know he didn't do all this motherfucker. Did I say that? Yo, listen. So, this is what I'm trying to tell young people.
Yeah, just show them against the wall at the table.
You're not supposed to show up at 8:15 when it's 8 o'clock
That's right.
meeting. You're supposed to show up at 7:45 and scope out the joint.
And also, I would also say this. I would say that, you know, the cockiness is great for the records.
Yes.
If I make a record
tomorrow,
if I make a record tomorrow, it's going to be the cockiest thing you've ever heard in your life.
Right.
But in between, it's okay to be humble.
No, I'm humble.
Humility is okay. I didn't say pseudo.
Right.
I didn't say pseudo.
I don't
humble.
Know what pseudo means.
I'm retarded.
I'm from third grade.
I'm fourth, but you know, I studied the dictionary. False, like fake humility, like you know, fugazi. You know,
all right.
But just be humble. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, people want to help you then. You know, right. You ain't got to be, you know, all that all the time. Right. You know, leave it on the records, leave it on your music, leave it on right. stage. But other than that, just be you. You know what I'm saying? And I think you get a lot further, you know, in your career.
Okay, before we get up right. out of here, because I know you got to go.
Yeah, because Claude is over there. Yeah, she's yeah.
I know you got to go. But you actually have, it's not just lip sync battle. It's not just, you know, you playing these other, you actually have a production. Describe to these young black kids you can actually help yeah. people out.
Well, I co-produced the Grammy nomination show for about 5 years. I'm a producer on Lip Sync Battle as
did
well.
Did you know how lightly he said that?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I think we should make noise for that.
Yeah. And, if somebody has TV ideas or ideas that I think are worthy, I'm not going to like everything. If I don't like it, I'm gonna tell the person. Like,
should we send them to Claudine?
Yeah, something like that. But let's, you know, we gotta be easy. It's a million people over here. You know, we gotta...
No, Claude. Let me just tell you something. One thing for sure, two things for certain. When Violator dispersed,
yeah,
it was probably the saddest day of my life.
It was crazy
because I didn't know anything other than Chris Lighty. I didn't know other than Claudine, Laurie Dublin's. And so on and
yeah,
so
yeah,
forth. Mona Scott. I didn't know nothing.
I feel you.
So when Chris went away, it was probably the saddest day of my life.
I feel you.
Because I just didn't know what to do.
I was sad too, man.
I didn't know what to do.
Nah, I feel you.
I called Busta, and Busta
was
already
lost.
Had another. He was with James
at that time for a minute, right?
But it was like another management. It wasn't like James was violated at that time. And I was just lost. Like, I'm just now finding myself.
You've done a great job. Me personally.
And one of the very first persons, people, I'm sorry, I said persons. I'm like dyslexic.
It's all good.
It's Claudine. And I said, Claudine was, she has never, ever made me question her. Mm-mm. She has never, ever done anything. And the fact that Claudine is with you, it lets me know that you really living out Violator, brother.
No doubt.
And I love you, my brother. I love Claudine. Like, you don't understand. And she asked, she said, yo, I want to meet your wife. And I made sure my wife came just to meet Claudine because she means so much to my life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. And I went and looked for her. And when I said, damn, she went out. I can't afford her.
I fucked up. I should have came last year. I can't do it.
It was 7:45. I was already there.
I'm like, damn, man. I can't thank you enough because you know what? Out of everything, that's what we owe Chris Lighty.
No question.
We owe Chris Lighty to keep his legacy
First of all, I owe Chris on so many levels. I mean, my Mr. Smith album, him connecting me with the Trackmasters. We did that whole Doing It record you talked
doing
about. Chris
it,
was
doing
involved
it,
with
doing
that.
Doing it well.
Chris was down with me when we did that song. You know, Chris, you
she,
know,
she
he's
represent
a, he's a,
Queen. She was raised down in Brooklyn.
It's our first time together, and I'm
still don't know this bitch.
Horny.
I gotta meet her.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta meet her.
Well, maybe you know. Know her.
Yeah, well, you know.
You gotta relax.
But, yeah, Chris was, he was a special guy, and, you know, he's definitely be sorely missed. And I try to pay it forward by, you know, looking out for Tiffany. You know, when she's in L.A., she stays with me. You know, making sure that she's good.
Can LL, Nori, and Busta create a new Violator? And because you know, L, let me just tell you something, L.
Mm.
And I'm sorry, this is going to get very touchy. Not for you, not for anybody here. But the other day, DMX performed, right?
Mm-hmm. Where?
In the Barclays Center.
Okay.
The whole hip-hop said, DMX don't look good. DMX, you know. He looks like he's smoking. He looks like whatever. But isn't it hip hop's responsibility to say that this man gave us 10 million records? This man gave us such and such. Why don't we just come take him and put him in the rehab or put him to whatever he needs to do to be safe? But you know what? Hip hop don't have a union to do that. Al is great. Nori's great. EFN is great. Rich Blanco is great. Randy Acker's great. Shouldn't we give 1% of something so that if anything like this happens, like Chris Lighty passing, Tiffany don't have to worry. Like DMX, you know, have to go into rehab. We can take care of that. I feel like hip-hop owes hip-hop that. Am I bugging, Al?
No, you're not bugging. You know, but that's a very complicated thing. You know, I mean, you know, what you're talking about, I mean, you know, sons can't
SAG.
Get... Yeah, son, can't I know, like I understand sons can't get their mothers off drugs, man. Mm. You know, that's a tough one.
No.
No, I understand what you're saying. True. But in terms of, you know, unionizing hip-hop and you know, it's something to think about. Strong management can, you know, can create that kind of a vibe.
Right.
It's not, nah, it's not nothing rap. Look, the laborers, look, the people, the guys on the ground floor, the guys who had 3-4 songs, the guys who, you know, it would be great if they had medical.
Not 3-4 and songs. Come on, Al. We're talking about veterans.
No, no, but 3-4 songs.
Albums.
Look, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock don't deserve to be. Yeah. I mean, no, they had 3-4 songs.
They
I had albums, but I'm talking
about
hits.
They're the first
when
one.
When I say songs, I just mean hits.
Okay,
I don't mean.
My bad.
I don't think it's nothing wrong. I think that's a good idea. But
you think people who gave?
It takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment. There's, you know, you have to be real about things like that.
But if you gave 10 years of hip hop, right?
Right.
You dedicated to hip hop. Now you develop some type of disease. It only take 40,000
to get
rid of your disease. And there's people like us who have it. I'll give a band, you give a band, Jay-Z give a band, whatever. Shouldn't that person's, you know.
I would always be willing to contribute to something like that, as long as I know dudes ain't, you know.
No. It's transparent.
Taking it and that's buying, an you know.
It's like transparent. Fund,
right? Getting low profile tires like with my band.
Our bank account like that.
Woo! Got them new Pirellis. No, goddamn.
Our bank account like that. Our bank account like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's transparent. We gotta be because
if it's transparent, yes.
Because you know why? Because the thing is, I don't want to give. An extra $5,000 that I don't want
to. I would have no problem with. Look, you're not going to be successful if you don't give.
Right.
Period. Anyway. Wow. That's just part of it. You know, that comes with territory. Wow. So if you think you're going to be able to be a selfish prick and be successful, it's not going to happen. You're going to be, because the people that are successful because of the things they do right. And the parts of their life where they fail, they're unsuccessful because of the things they do incorrectly. And so, you know, because a lot of times people think an evil guy is successful because he's evil. No, he's successful because he's doing something right. He also will reap the rewards of being evil in another area. So don't confuse it. People are successful because of what they do right.
Mm.
Period.
Damn, I ain't got no
And they
questions.
Lose because of what they do wrong. You know what I mean? Just like sports. You win because of what you did right.
All right. But there'll be repercussions for the other shit, too.
But there's repercussions for other things. Yeah. Flagrants. You know, right. Whatever.
Overturn.
You know, turnover. Like, so, you know, it's consequences.
L, you mad smart. I just got to make a noise for you being mad smart.
But I don't... Yeah. Let me get out of here.
We'll do one picture and one drop.
Peace and love, y'all. Peace
you
and
need, love, you need any champagne to go?
No, I'm good.
I got you. Whatever
I'm
you
gravy.
Need.
I'm gravy.
Al, thank you. Yo, thank you. I got the picture.